Let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you and praise you for the beauty of the day now that you've given to us. And we thank you, Father, for giving us the breath of life that we can be here today, that we can hear your word once again, that you teach us, that you change us, that you show us and guide and direct us the way that you want us to live for you. And we thank and praise you for that. We ask now, Lord, that we have your help here as we go through this lesson there, Lord. And we just ask that you would just guide and direct, that you would enlighten us and help us to learn the things you want us to learn. We praise and thank you for it. Be with us throughout this day now, Lord, and just give us a good day in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I think you need someone to teach your class on August 2nd. That's 7 to 10 year olds or something like that. So if somebody want to take that, let us know. That's August 2nd.
Okay. You talk about teaching them young, a 3-year-old girl at that says, and ladies, you've taught them well. Mommy, I'm not joking, I'm not kidding, and I'm not playing. I need chocolate. So, ladies, you've done a very good job at that. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We've been going over now, trying to get to with children here that we're teaching about children and the behavior problem, and that I'm trying to show you and point out that it's a heart issue. The behavior problem that they have. And we went over last week, and I give you a little reference there of a child or two children who were playing, and the one grabbed the toy, if you remember. You wouldn't have known it. You didn't know who it was. The fight started, and then the response was that from the one that took it, who had it first is what you're going to go and come and say to them, you know. But you're looking at that in the issue of justice there. But justice operates different in a child, you know, that's quicker on the draw and getting the toy. But when you look at this situation, the issue changes if you look at it in a heart situation. So, you know, with the heart situation, you have two offenders, but they're both sinners. You got to understand that. Both are selfish. Both want the toy. Both aren't concerned about either or's happiness. They don't care about that. And so in terms of issues of the hearts, you have these two sinning children. And what they need is they need to have the heart issue changed. It needs to be changed. The one says, I want my happiness even at your expense. So that's what they're saying to one another. So, you know, You have to look at it at the heart issue instead of just the behavior issue and things like that. So we're trying to get to the heart of the problem here. And you see then how the heart attitudes direct behavior. And it's always true. All behavior is linked to some attitude of the heart. You think about that saying. All behavior. Discipline must address attitudes of the heart. The understanding does marvelous things for discipline, which it does. If you get to this, number two, it makes the heart issue, not just the behavior, or it makes it the heart issue. Yes, and it's not just the behavior. The point of confrontation is what is occurring in the heart, and your concern is to unmask your child's sin. Helping him to understand how it reflects a heart that has strayed that leads to the cross of Christ. The heart is a wellspring of life. It is what it is. And parenting then, therefore, is concerned with shepherding that heart. You need to shepherd that heart. Now, when I say that, what do you think of? Shepherding the heart. Bunny. Mm-hmm. Well, you think of it as a shepherd, and what do they do? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? All good answers. Ben?
Mm-hmm. The heart, not the child, not the physical needs that the child has, but the spiritual needs. You know, shepherding the heart is what we're going to be.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at it here a little bit like a shepherd. Sheep tend to stray and get lost. You think about it with kids, it's the same thing almost. Sheep can get confused when they are scattered and not able to find their way back. As a shepherd, go after the sheep when they stray. Don't wait or expect them to come back on their own. They need to be rescued and restored. And an effective shepherd realizes that sometimes a visit would be beneficial. The shepherd also seeks to build an accountability with the sheep to help deter them from getting lost. You're helping them. Just some of your answers here that you said already. Sheep need to be fed. They need to be fed. Feeding the sheep helps the strengthen and equip them for godly living and service. Ephesians 4, 11, and 12. Without a good diet from the Word, the sheep will be undernourished and more susceptible to diseases. And I keep expressing this. I'm going to keep expressing it the whole way through this whole thing. It's only God's Word. You've got to use God's Word. It's God's Word that will change the heart. Didn't want to get into this right now, but I guess this is the time that the Lord wanted me to get into it. Think about it when you got saved. What changed? Or did you change? It's your heart that has to change. What did God have to do to you to get it to change? You had to be in His Word for you to change. It's God's Word that changes your heart. It changes your thinking. It changes your mind. It changes all these things. Where is it? With us getting into God's Word, you have to obey it. Get that? Obedience. Obedience changes the heart when you get into God's Word. Our heart, by loving Him more than any relationship, activity, achievement, or possession. Think about that. It changes our heart when we obey His Word. When we obey His Word, it changes our will by committing ourselves completely to Him. We're changed. We're changing. We're changing that heart. Think about it, what you were beforehand. Now, what are you now? It changes our mind by seeking to know Him and His words, so His principles and values form the foundation of all we think and do. That's what you're trying to convince your children, so that they can behave. We change our body. Our bodies change by recognizing that our strengths, talents, and sexuality are given to us by God to be used for pleasure and fulfillment according to His rules, not ours. Not only does our heart, our will, our mind, our body change, our finances change by deciding that all of the resources we have ultimately come from God and that we are to be managers of them and not owners. Everything that you have, God gave it to you. Don't think that you own it, because once that they put you 6 foot under the ground, you own nothing. But you're to manage what you have right now. And see, that changes. That's a change. And obedience changes our future by deciding to make service to God and man the main purpose of our life's work. Everything changes. Did your heart change? You see, that's the principle that you're trying to get over to your children. You want them to change. You need to change that heart attitude so that that behavior problem, they're not going to be wanting to grab that toy, you know, away from the other one. They're going to be wanting to give it to them instead of taking it from them. And what that's what I say. How does your heart change? You know, how did your heart change? That's the thing. How did your heart change? So we're to be shepherding that heart, you see. Back to the shepherding that I was going over. I'm not sure where I stopped here. Sheep need, well, I guess, yeah, I think I give that one. Sheep need to be fed. Yes.
I'm not sure obedience leads to the change of heart. I think it's more a fact that the obedience is a result of the changed heart.
Okay. I see that. I see that too, yeah.
The heart's got to be changed before the obedience comes forth. And that's the manifestation of the changed heart.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I agree with that. Did anybody else? Nothing matter with that whatsoever. Go ahead.
Only the Lord can change the heart. The Holy Spirit dwells within.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I was thinking when you said it the first time, it almost puts a burden on me like the law. Because when you say, you know, obedience will bring that change of heart, it's almost like, well, how do I get my kid to obey so that they can have that change of heart? And so it makes more sense to see it, you know, like you said, when you get saved, how it works.
Sure, sure. I'm just referring this to, I want you to think about how, when you got saved, what, I mean, are you the same person that you were? You're not. When before you were saved, did you have that desire to get up early in the morning and come here to church like this? Huh? You have a lot of you, that you younger ones, all the kids you have, you got to get them kids ready. You're getting up early. I understand it. You're getting them ready. But beforehand, you would have never did that. You'd have just stayed in bed as long as you possibly could. Did you have your hand up, Ben?
Well, like the heart's changed in some things, like forgiveness. You struggle with unforgiveness, and you don't, your heart knows that you need to forgive, but it's not until sometime in my own life, it's not until I obey that my feelings begin to change.
And so, you're getting it. You're getting it.
And so in some sense, I see what you mean, but in the other way, there seems to be a funny, this isn't black and white in some way.
No. But see, what you're just saying there is you have the Holy Spirit that lives within inside of you. And something eats at you or something, you know,
yes,
till you, and that's God changing you, changing your heart, that you have to go and you got to have that forgiveness. Just, that's just one incident, you know, like you're saying there.
But it's steps. It doesn't all happen.
No. I've been saved since 1966, and to this day, I'm still learning. My heart is still changing. Okay. When my wife and I first started having a family, we had things that we thought then that right now they were stupid, you know, on following Christ and following this and following that. We had sort of what you want to call rules and regulations. And half of them rules and regulations today, they were stupid. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to refer back to some of them, but they're just it's just one of them things. We learned completely different because God's word showed us completely different. Now, I've seen hands every place back here. Okay, there you go. Yeah, it's that working on the inside. Yeah, what you were talking, you know what came into my mind when you said that some people go drastically, sometimes quick, and then there's others it takes a while? I wished you would have been in a Sunday school class that I had up at Calvary Bible Church. You younger ones were in it. I never seen a wild bunch in my born days that had changed drastically. But you know, there was some in there that just changed drastically, and there's others that just slowly you could see it coming and coming and coming. You could just sit back and watch it. It was just so neat, you know, because you knew God was working in their heart. It's neat to sit back and watch your children do the same thing. Go ahead. See, so you know, some of you parents, you think, oh, is it ever gonna change? Would have you ever thought that Sawyer would have did something like that at this particular stage in his life? See, I'm just saying, you know, I had some of your kids the other night for prayer. You know, we were praying together. And that's neat myself to take your kids. And I want to do that whenever you're here with prayer. So please let me have some of your kids because it's neat to hear how they pray. Somebody's teaching them. Okay. But it's neat to hear how they pray, you know, and the words that come out of their mouth and stuff. And you can tell it's coming from the heart. It's just not something that's, you know, this and that, you know, and all. It's coming from the heart. And it's neat. It's neat. I like it. Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to go on here with the shepherding. Okay? They need to be led to green pastures. An effective shepherd teaches, trains, nourishes the sheep. Okay? They do that. A sheep may get injured or sick. A shepherd needs to observe, pay attention to the condition of the sheep. There will be times when the sheep needs some extra attention. Think about it. Think about it with your kids, you know. They need to be cared for and healed. An effective shepherd sometimes counsels, intervenes in times of crisis, and provides practical assistance as needed, but also values the power of prayer in helping the person. When you get defeated, ladies, when you get defeated, men, go to prayer. Believe me, it helps. It helps. Let me see, where did I stop at? Yeah, okay. Sheep tend to get frightened. When the storms of life come, sheep can get skittish. Trials, attacks from the enemy, too much change can immobilize them. They need to drink from quiet waters. You know your children. We've talked about it. They're all different. Some can take this, some can't. Some can take that, some can't. You know, that's part of it. They need to be comforted and encouraged. An effective shepherd listens to and provides comfort, but the shepherd also knows when it is time to spur them onward. Okay? Sheep are vulnerable to attack. 1 Peter 5:8, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking to devour, and savage wolves will come in among you, and even from your own number, when men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw disciples after them. Acts 20:28-30 talks about that. The wolves are coming in, you see. They're coming. Right now you're preparing your kids for teenage years, okay? For the teenage years. That's going to be, you think that these years now are tough. Just wait till the teenage years come, okay? But what you're teaching them now is, are they going to be able to stand on their own two feet when they get out here on their own? You see? Are they going to go along with the crowd, or are they going to stand up for themselves and say, whoa? What if your teenage kid was out here with a group of kids, and you see they see what, some guy putting some kind of a pill into a drink that they're giving to some guy's doing it and giving it to a girl. Now, is your teenage kid going to sit there and go along with it, or are they going to stand up on their own two feet and say, whoa, don't drink that? He put something in that. Something to give you thoughts about, to think about. For the teenagers, we didn't even get into teenagers yet. We're just talking about kids in general right now. But it's just something to think about. This is what you're bringing your kids up for, their teenage years right now. So you're preparing them for it. The wolves are out there to attack, you know. They need to be guarded and protected. An effective shepherd oversees the flock, watching for predators, chasing off any attackers. That's just a few things that a shepherd does, you know. And it's just one of them things where we have to, you know, when we shepherd children in their hearts, some things that we need to be thinking about with the behavior problems and all that, you know, that we got to go on here. Okay. Questions or comments? Okay. The parenting is the concern of shepherding that heart that we're talking about. So we must learn to work back from the behavior, you see, to the heart. That's the key. We got to understand the heart issues with this behavior problem that they're having, and exposing the heart issues for your children. In short, you must learn to engage them, not just reprove them. You got to engage it. Help them see the ways that they are trying to slack their soul's thirst with that which cannot satisfy. You must help your kids gain a clear focus on the cross of Christ. It's the Word of God that's going to change them. It's the Word of God that changed you. So it's the Word of God that, you know, when they, yes, you've got to discipline, yes. You know, you got to get attack this behavior problem a little bit. You got to engage it, but you got to give them the Word of God. You got to sit down and talk to them, give them the Word of God. You know, so that sooner or later, it's going to change their heart. It's a constant thing. I hope I can get into it here, but I think we will. But I want to show you here in Deuteronomy 6 what this is all about. Here's the propitiation, or here's the forget it. Can't even pronounce it, so I'm not even going to say it. Propitiation, whatever. Behavior is the heart drive, therefore. Correction, discipline, and training, all parenting must be addressed to the heart. Behavior is heart-driven. It is. Remember what we read in Luke chapter 6:45? What comes out of the mouth comes out of the heart. You see, that's what it is, you know. And so it's heart driven. And we've got that's what we're after to change. That's what we're after to change. The fundamental task of parenting is shepherding the heart of your children. So that's what it's all about. There's two things in a child's relationship that sets the issues that affect him. The first one is the child and his relationship to the shaping influences of life. That's what I'm talking about. Then that's what we're going to get into. The shaping influences of his life today. What they're around. It'll be family values, family roles, just different things of the family and things like that. There are mistakes that are made that we're going to be going over, you know. It's that them shaping influences that influence them in their life. And the second thing is the child and his relationship to God. Okay? Now, a question. Here's the question. Here's one of the questions that was given to me. Some of you older folks, can you answer it? Do you discipline children with different hearts, the same or different? What's your thoughts?
Different.
Why do you say different? That's right. Yep, that's right. They're different. You do it different. You know, every heart's different, and you discipline that way. You know, for the hearts, everything's different. So you discipline them different because they got the different hearts. So my papers got messed up for some reason. I don't know how I did this because I got stuff written all over the place. Gary, I think you were here one day teaching, and you said something about you can't find your notes were all messed up. So is mine. Okay. Four or five, yeah. So, shaping the influences of your child's development. That's the whole thing. And shaping these influences is what we're going to get into. Shaping influences are those events and circumstances in a child's developmental years that prove to be catalysts for making him the person he is. Did you get that? Go ahead.
I have two questions, actually. The first question is, I know we're supposed to discipline our kids differently because they're different. But the Bible says use the rod. So when you say discipline differently, does that mean you sometimes don't use the rod? You use something else? Or, like, what warrants the rod then? Like, because I know we struggle with
there you go. You're doing it differently. Exactly. That's exactly what you should be doing. It's not always the rod. I don't feel that it's always the rod. I think there'll be some other ones here that'll agree. There's other things that you can do to a child that sometimes, changes their mind and heart attitude without even using the rod. You know, taking something that they love to do away from them. Oh, does that get them? Oh, does that get them? I know that for a fact. I had my second son, Buddy. He loved his four-wheelers. He loved his motorcycles. I left him have them. But Buddy, when I took them from him, I want to tell you, he did not like that whatsoever. That was better than me trying to use the rod on him at that particular time. Now, don't get me wrong. I used the rod on him. But he still, just taking that from him, boy, that got to him more than anything. More than anything.
And then my other question is, we struggle with, I had a friend of mine come over the other day, and as far as I know, she's saved and she's a Christian and everything. And I noticed that she had a tattoo. Now, people here have tattoos. I'm not condemning anybody. But I don't feel fair. I don't want my children to have them, and I'm not okay with them. I don't know how. Wanting to do things with your kids to have fun with them. Like, I like to take my kids back to Pobal. there's inappropriate things that you see at places like that. Now, the place itself is not a bad place. And so what do you keep your kids completely away from those things? Do you take them there and explain, look, we don't do these kinds of things if they do them, but are you exposing them so that their minds will wander and will go off? Or do you just try to teach them and say, well, you have to make the decision for yourself? What do you do with that?
Somebody want to hit that? I got things rolling through my mind here.
You can't shelter them from everything.
Mm-mm.
So what you need to do is use those as teaching moments and explain why we don't do this, what's wrong with this. And if that, you know, you're there, it's better that they're supposed to allow you are there than expose when you're not there to be able to deal with it.
Okay, go ahead.
I think that's the importance of being able to. Every family is different. Every child is different. And we must follow Christ in those decisions. Because every one of those decisions can change from one week to the next. And it's just that relationship, that constant walk with Him, that we can make those wise decisions. Because they're not always there. They're not easy. And we need His guidance in every one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no black and white.
Yeah, she had quite a few questions there, and the one that was going through my mind was the tattoo thing. You know, the Bible doesn't talk anything about tattoos.
No.
Okay. So I take it that with tattoos, you know, and a lot of these people get them before they're saved. Okay.
Some do. This one
did not. See, that's more of... You know, tattoos, I feel, are more of a rebellion than anything. And I think that even if you're saved and you get one, I don't understand. You know, I don't understand. Yeah.
How do I explain that? Like, because usually you can say, hey, you can't lie, this is why.
Yeah. To me, you know, it's a common thing for ladies to have their ears pierced. I don't know. It's just something that I grew up with, and everybody, that was just something that they had. They had their ears pierced and that. But I told my boys, don't you ever come home with an earring in your ear. I'll rip it right out right there. And I don't care how much blood and stuff that there is. And they never came home with their ears pierced, you see. So, you know, that's just one of the things. But I don't know. I don't know how to explain this. I got hands every place, so I'm gonna go around the room here and see. Let me think a little bit about this too. Go ahead.
Well, as far as piercing and tattoos, piercing is something you can let go. I mean, yes, there may be a permanent hole in your ear, but it's not something that's really noticeable. The tattoo is something. You have a very difficult time, if ever, getting rid of it or the scars of it. The other thing is, I know Paul says it, and I can't put chapter and verse to it, but our bodies are the temple of God. They're supposed to be holy. And he does address the fact that we should treat our bodies as a temple of God and not mistreat them. So there's some indirect thing from Paul in that, as far as whether somebody wants to get a tattoo or not. God would appreciate you doing to your body. No, that's my answer to that anyway. But as far as the piercing versus the tattoos, I think the piercing is less of an issue because you just stop wearing your earrings, and pretty soon, is that okay?
Pierced ears, though, will, if you take the earrings out long enough, they'll grow I've got pierced ears. But I'm asking, I would like to know why you think tattoos, that everybody is rebelling.
Well, what? Look at the tattoos.
I mean, I don't have a tattoo. I don't want one. But I can't believe that everybody that has one simple, maybe little tattoo is rebelling. They want one.
I'm not saying that they, yeah, I know they want them, but I'm saying is, you know, you look at them and you see what they are. You know, the tattoos. It all talks about, it's all everything, you know, that I feel that you can see on a lot of them that's against God. Now, somebody will put, you know, like a, like their wife or something like that there, or a girlfriend or something like that there, they'll put their name there. But a lot of them, you know, are snakes, stuff of the demons, stuff of devils, you know, all this kind of stuff. Don't tell me that's not rebellion. You know. Yeah, some do cover their bodies. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just something that I don't think it's a good idea. Wait a second here. Gary, I've seen your hand first.
I'm just going to say, even though the Bible doesn't specifically say not to have a tattoo, one approach you might be able to take is what tattoos and tattoo parlors are generally associated with. I'd never walk into a tattoo parlor just because of what might be there, and a lot of them are evil symbols. I mean, yeah, even though you could get a cross tattoo on your arm if you wanted to, just the whole connection of what all that's associated with in general might mm-hmm. be a good approach to take to say that's why we don't recommend anybody do this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Jennifer? Wait a second. Amy?
Coming from knowing someone with quite a few tattoos, their personal why they got them, they were going through a very dark time in their life and they wanted to inflict pain on themselves because they were going through pain. They wanted to cause pain on themselves. And I don't, what's the purpose? You know, why? They obviously were going through something wrong, and putting that on themselves made them feel better. I don't know why. So, okay, is that everybody's opinion when they're, getting those tattoos? I don't know, but that's what I know from someone that has gotten them.
Yeah, but that person also, said that the pain, it was to cover up the other pain. Make sense.
So it's drinking and dope and all that stuff, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But since
he's
gotten tattooed, that wasn't
because of
pain
in
mind.
Mm-hmm.
Ben? You know, in the Old Testament, talked about markings. And the law forbids them, except for slaves. And, I mean, slave isn't necessarily a nice thing, serving somebody. But we're God's servants. We're not the world's slaves. And those tattoos aren't God's. Our body belongs to Him. Well, then everything about us should be about Him. And I know some guys get a cross on there and fine and whatever. But, like the butterfly or whatever, it's more of a, I mean, what is the heart behind it is what matters, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So to say, oh, it's all bad, well, maybe we're going too far there. Say it's all bad. I don't know, but I do, but it seems like the Old Testament is against the markings of the body, and you know, the New Testament speaks of modesty, and it speaks of not pride but of humility. What's a tattoo? Look at me, you know, and I know our dress can do that, and anything can do that. So that's a fact, and so you know. But I think it's a matter of the heart.
Yeah. I mean, are you going to go to hell because you get a tattoo?
No.
No. Not at all. I'm not saying. I'm not saying not to get a tattoo. If you want to get a tattoo, go for it. I'm against it. Like was said here, my body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, you know, and I am to take care of it. I am to do whatever I can to keep it so that I can pronounce the word of God to people, to whoever I'm supposed to do. I am to do the work of God, and that's what this body's all about, you know, and that's what I'm supposed to do. But to say that, now I'm just saying that the question was asked about tattoos. I just say that it's something that it seems like it's rebellion, you know, with all the stuff that you see on them. It all follows demons. It all follows devils. And there is some that doesn't. And, you know, whether it's okay or not, I don't know. But like you say, the Old Testament says that the markings of the body, it wasn't supposed to be. So I just, to follow God's word, I'm not going to do it. Okay, go ahead.
It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's, his possession. It's his. So we would want to ask, if this is what we were going to do and we were going to be right in it, we would ask God if he wanted that marking on there. And because God, what do you want me to do with my body? Either we belong to him and we're his property, or we're not. But those that are saved are.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to say, God, do you want that? Does this honor you? And if you're leading me to do this, then so be it. I'll shut my mouth. The guy says, well, this is what God led me to do here. I'll shut my mouth about that.
Yeah. Bonnie, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Pastor.
As Ben stressed there, I think it's about what honors and glorifies God. Now, I know one baseball pitcher that has Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 on his arm. Not the reference, the verse. I'm not endorsing that, but, you know, that he's chosen for whatever reason to put that scripture passage, the words of that scripture passage on his arm. I've also got a child who has a tattoo. And this particular one did not get it out of rebellion. I know that. This child is spiritual. Again, I'm not endorsing this. If the whole key to the thing is Ben said, is this what God wants for me? Does this bring honor and glory to God? And that's the thing I think you need to camp on right here. We fundamental Baptists sometimes really get into the weeds on stuff like this. Long hair, in the Bible it's pretty clear on the long hair on men. But does that mean that person can't serve God? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
I've known some people with long hair that are more faithful and more close to God. People with the right kind of hair. So it's, you know, these outward things, and sometimes, yes, it's an act of rebellion. Sometimes they're done for the wrong reason, and many times the wrong reason and the wrong motives, but that doesn't mean that all the time they are. And in the end, I'm the one that gives an account to God in my life.
Yep.
And we need to, instead of making a big fuss about these things, you know, yes, teach our children. Here's why I don't think this is right to do. But then, if the child chooses to get the tattoo, you don't write them off and excommunicate them. You still got a lot. love them and continue to try to nurture that hurt.
Well, and it's, I think that goes along with the same thing here now with this, these new laws and stuff, you know, with homosexuals and lesbians and that getting married and that, you know. What if it happens to your kid? Are you going to kick them out? Going to throw them out? You're supposed to still love them. You're supposed to, you know, it's the same thing. You love them, you know, no matter what happens, you know, and someday maybe God will show them from his word that, you know, what it's all about. But, you know, the world today, this is the world today. This is the world today. And just what Bunny read there about our fleshly nature, you know, what does our fleshly nature want? What does our fleshly nature? We are to put that on the back stool if we can. But it's a fight. I agree. It's a fight. One more. Amy, I seen your hand, and then I'm going to close here.
Just because Ashlyn went to a tea party, birthday party the other day, and came home with tattoos on the sticky ones. And it was Christian, which was, she came home with little tea stones and stuff. So Heather had to very gently talk to her about why it was not what they felt. But didn't want to be condemning them. So it was a very fine line there for her to very lovingly say that was their decision to do that. But this is the way we feel God wants us to handle it. So, you know, you don't want to be condemning your friend to them either. You know, it's a very fine, gentle thing. And I know some very godly people, like Pastor said, who have tattoos. You know, and they love the Lord. And if that's a decision they made, they're the ones that stand before God, and we can't be condemned.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. That was a down note. Let me put you up here on an up note here just before we quit. A 3-year-old says this. You're going to like yes, Natalie. Excuse me. I understand that you like taking naps, but I don't. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this day. We thank you for just all the things that you do for us. And we thank you, Father, that your word is true and faithful. And, Lord, if there is some way, Lord, that we can help out here, Lord, with raising children, we hope that your spirit would just enlighten us and show us, help us. You've taught me different things already in this, Father, and my children are already raised. But, Father, I still can help out with my grandchildren. So I just ask you would just help us with this. Give us the guidance and direction, and be with us now. In your name that we pray. Amen.